Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. The world needs to hear your message and your story, so don't deny the world of that gift within you that the universe has given you. Someone out there needs to hear your story because it will support them in feeling hope, inspired, and even transformed. Do you want to discover how I help get my clients out of their own way, show up, and confidently share their message? I would love to extend an invitation to you to join me in my free masterclass, Start Your Own Podcast from Idea to Implementation, on Wednesday, April 5th at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can find the registry link in the show notes. Hope to see you there. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Soraya Bodhi. She is the owner and founder of Love is Your Origin, an author, the chief love officer of Love is Your Origin, and a conscious mom coach. Also, a life and spiritual coach and podcast host. Welcome, Soraya. I am so grateful and honored to have this opportunity to sit down with you and speak and learn a little bit about your journey, your story, and the beautiful light you put out into the world through all the hats and all the work that you're doing, all the hats you wear. I am honored. So thank you for making and taking the time to be here with me today.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here and share with others and for really creating a beautiful platform for women. I mean, you are an inspiration. I've been following you for quite some time, and I just appreciate all that you're putting out in the world, giving us a voice, a collective voice to share our unique stories and backgrounds. So I'm really happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that beautiful reflection. I receive that and appreciate that. So with all of that being said, the mutual admiration society that we have going on here, let's jump right in. I have to start by saying that I absolutely love the title that you've given yourself of Chief Love Officer. That's amazing. Way better than CEO, CFO, COO, all those things. Yeah. The CLO, Chief Love Officer. I love it. That is so amazing.
Thank you.
Now, that is a hell of a lot of hats you wear and quite a resume. How on earth do you find the time for all of this? And how do you prioritize, and how important is prioritization in organization for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a mom of two small children, 3 and 36.
Let's add that into the list.
Yes, busy mom. I've been working in HR for 20 years and I have my own conscious mom business. So it's, you know what, I think what I find is when you're working from a place of inspiration, as A Course in Miracles says, miracles collapse time. Mm-hmm. And so when you're tuned into your highest self and you're working from that place, it's like your time goes faster in a way. The inspiration flows through you. And so what I find in terms of prioritization, yes, I have to be super organized, obviously, with work and kids and all of that. But when I'm working on this conscious mom business and work and writing, it's just like this stream of consciousness flows through me and it's doing the work for me. And so it doesn't feel like I'm overloaded. It just feels like I'm expressing what my soul always meant to express in this lifetime. And so that's what I would say is, yes, I'm prioritizing and I'm organizing. But when you're attuned to your highest self, it just comes into place. Things fall into place where you can actualize it within the time you have.
Collapses time. I love that. Because time does seem to go by so quickly. And when you're in and doing what you love, the time does slip away. Like you don't even notice it because you're so caught up in doing what you love, creating the goodness that you're putting out into the world. You're right. It's like time has vanished. It collapses.
Yeah. And when you're tuned into your highest self, it feels effortless. It feels joyful. Like when I wrote the book Motherhood Diaries, it wasn't like I was sitting there for hours at a time. It was like, show me, guide me. And the book was written through me. And I had a newborn, I had a 2-year-old, and I know we're going to get to that, but it didn't feel like it was like hustling, grinding, that kind of feeling. It felt inspired. It felt like a force was working through me.
Miracles collapse time. I love it. That one stuck in my head. I'm very curious that with all of the hats you wear, and I didn't even mention the author hat that you wear either, what does your morning routine look like, Soraya?
So as I mentioned, I have two kids. Mm-hmm. So it's first and foremost getting them ready. And we have a routine that we do together, which is positive prayers and words. And so I want to instill in them as well the ability to connect to their highest selves. So we'll pray together. We will do affirmations in the morning. I'll ask them, what are you grateful for? And then I'll say, okay, what kind of energy do you want to call into your day? And so I get them to talk about that. And they're three and five. My son's
three and six. That's incredible.
And just the other day, my affirmation is, I am a miracle. And I thought, this is just so beautiful, right?
That is.
And then we set the intention for the day together, and then we surrender it to the highest good of all. And then I walk my son over to school, and we just notice the beautiful nature around us. We take the moments. I always wake up telling them how much I'm so happy to see them, that it's a joy to see them. I want them to feel that. And then once they're off to school, it's my time now before I head into my day. And I take my time with reading A Course in Miracles. That's very soothing for my being. So it's a 365-day course, which is half the year is unlearning the mindset of fear. The other half of the year is learning the mindset of love, our essence. Mm-hmm. And the outcome is inner peace. And so every day I read an excerpt. It comes with a mantra. And then I do my meditation, my energy cleansing meditation, grounding, and I recite that mantra in my day for in the morning and throughout the day. And I find doing that, also honing in, I ask myself three questions. Who am I at my greatest? What am I grateful for? And what is my intention for the day? And then I envision surrendering it to the doorstep of light and say, okay, here's my intention. Here's how I envision it. Now you guide me in the highest good of all. And that starts my day on just a beautiful note. So that's how I start.
Amazing. And I love that you're starting the kids out so young with all of this stuff, with the spiritual path and affirmations and self-love, really. That's what it is. It's self-love.
Yes.
And that is so important that we do this with our children from that young age, because then they just grow up not knowing any different. It's just second nature. It becomes part of their DNA, part of who they are.
Yeah. And that's my big mission, right? I know you talked about Chief Love Officer. My legacy is love at the end of your life. What is most important? The love you gave and the love you received. And so as a conscious mom coach, I want to be a conscious mom, raise conscious beings, and then help other moms to do the same. And when I look at the state of the world, I think about what is my biggest contribution? It's raising these beautiful beings who are already attuned to their highest self because they're so pure and coming from that goodness of not being conditioned in that way and really holding that space for them to shine their brightest light, right? To love themselves so they can love others to the full extent. And so that's a big mission for me, is being a conscious mom and raising conscious beings that light up the world and then inspiring others to do the same.
It's a beautiful mission. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And so the Course in Miracles, that's Marianne Williamson, correct?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't write it, but she teaches it. She's been doing it for 40 years.
Yeah.
And I signed up for Mornings with Marianne. So I get a video from her every day, which she recites the lesson from the workbook. Mm-hmm. And then she explains it. And I also studied under her as well, because I was very fascinated by A Course in Miracles. Really changed my life. And I thought, how can I use this in integrating it with coaching? And so I studied under her for a few months, where she taught us and we got one-to-one coaching with her in a group setting, where she could coach us on our own personal stuff and how to integrate it. And then how would we integrate it with clients? So just life-changing. It really has been life-changing.
What drives, motivates, and inspires you to keep going and excelling at all that you do, Soraya?
Yeah, I look at my kids. They are a big inspiration. Like I talked about, just how do we make the planet more peaceful, more compassionate, more loving? And raising these beautiful conscious beings, being conscious, allows me to be inspired. Like I look at my kids, they're a big inspiration to be the best I can be. And then I also feel very inspired by letting myself be guided by spirit, by this inner voice and this eternal link. And so that has been inspiring, because I've been able to create from this space of love and expansion and really forge this pathway that I didn't expect for myself. And so that's been healing both for my life and others. And so serving, I think my kids are a big inspiration, and then serving this calling that I know I'm being called for to do, to help the planet, to heal the collective, is really inspiring.
Love conquers all. It is the highest vibration on the planet.
Yes, it is. It
is. We all need to step into it. Yeah. There's no reason. There's no need for hate or anger or any of that. We need to just embrace love and embrace each other, love each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine the planet, right? If everyone was attuned to their highest self, which is love, our mm-hmm. essence, our heritage is love, then the whole world would be in a different space. And absolutely. There is a lot of people that are now waking up and attuning. Yeah. And so now it's collectively coming together as a force to really shift the vibration on the planet. And that's what excites me about this work.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the coaching. I've heard a lot of people say that most, if not all, coaches have been through their own personal struggles and journeys before making the leap into coaching. And of course, we all go through and deal with our own personal struggles. We all have our shit to deal with as human beings. But what I found, though, through the conversation I'm having, is that most of the people I speak with who are now coaches, their struggles were the catalyst for shifting them into the world of coaching. Can you share a little bit about your own journey before yeah. you were on before making the leap into coaching?
Yeah, for sure. So like I mentioned, I've been in HR for 20 years. And when I went on maternity leave with my son, and he was 9 months old, I had an injury and I basically fell down some stairs and I got a concussion. I injured my neck and my back and I couldn't actually lift him and he would cry. And so I just was beside myself. I wanted to just take care of my baby and be able to be present with him. And I did what I could, but I was finding it hard physically to care for him in the way I wanted. And so I went down the path, the usual path of seeking for help from specialists, going to the physio, going to all the places to try and find the healing. And 9 months later, I was standing in the same place, not feeling like I was progressing. And I was like, you know what? I have a tiny human that's relying on me. I had before that 5 car accidents. I had 22 years of chronic pain. And so the universe was definitely trying to teach me something that I wasn't hearing. I wasn't ready to receive. But one night in particular, I remember I just got on my knees and I cried and I was like, I don't know what to do anymore. I've been having this pain for so long and debilitating pain at times. And now I have this son that's looking at me, my little beautiful miracle that needs me. And this pain is no longer serving me. Help me, show me, what can I do? And that became the opening. I heard meditate. And so I started to meditate. I started to feel this force wake me up in the middle of the night. I'd sit in my bed comfortably and I would just sit and silence. And what I found was there was all this stuff I hadn't dealt with, all these emotions that I had pushed down in trying to be that perfect mom and trying to show Ariane, my son, that, okay, everything is fine. I'm putting a happy face on. There was all these things that I had pushed down, I hadn't dealt with, both in the present and the past, that started to come up. So I think people think meditation is, okay, a peaceful encounter at first, but actually meditation brings us present to the things that we also need to heal. And so I just, for the first time, fully allowed it to come forward to the surface and allowed myself to cry, allowed myself to feel these emotions and be present with it. And after many nights of doing that, I think it was at least 2 weeks of every night waking up, this one particular night, I felt this overwhelming presence of light overwhelm my entire being. And in that moment, I just felt validated. I felt no pain. I felt certain. I felt like I was being guided to healing. And so two thoughts registered in my mind at that time is one, how can I rest in this feeling more? And two, how can I take away the darkness that other people are feeling and also help them feel this feeling too. And so that became another opening. And I was just like, okay, I want to rest here more in this light. Show me, guide me. And I started being guided on the path to inspired individuals. And so I first met Jennifer Jade, who I took her Awakeners program or certification. And it was just out of interest of healing and doing the deeper inner work. And after doing months of deeper inner work and clearing the clutter over my inner diamond, I learned how to hear the inner voice and then have the courage to actually follow it. And what does that feel like? And how does that sound like? And what is going to pop up? And that became a completely different lens. It's like I was wearing different color glasses. The world looked clearer. It looked brighter. It looked lighter. And I started to be guided to different avenues. And after I finished her program, I thought, okay, what's next? I would meditate and I would write and I would just feel this calling to write. And okay, I'm going to start an Instagram account. I'm just going to share my words. If it helps one person, fantastic. I just feel inspired to share. And you know, after going through this life coaching program, I thought, oh, this is so good. How can I share it with others? Like, I can't keep this to myself. And then I was led on the path of A Course in Miracles. That kept coming up in my feed. Okay, there's something here. And I started making that part of my practice, which I shared. I'm now doing that 4 years straight every day. And it really just shifted my perception. A miracle is a shift in perception. This is a core teaching, from fear to love. And that's exactly what it did. It shifted my perception from fear to love, to be able to see the world the way the universe sees it, to be a full expression of love. And so once I started opening that door, I just started feeling all this inspiration flowing through me. And that became the calling to start writing, which was the book that came through first before I got into coaching, Motherhood Diaries. And so when I was pregnant with my second child, my daughter, in COVID, I had this flow of creativity that came through to record a meditation for those that were birthing during COVID. So that started it. And writing, sending notes to homeless shelters of inspiration. I don't know why this was happening, but it just was. It was what I've been called to do. And then next, when my daughter was born, came Earthside. When she was 5 months old, I was rocking her in the chair and I was just taking some deep breaths and just getting some quietness while she was cuddling me and sleeping. And I heard, illuminating moms, our children, and the planet at large. You need to write this book. I thought, okay, am I sleep deprived here? I'm a mom, not sleeping, right? 5 months old, I got a 2-year-old. Okay, is this really happening? But just having been guided and attuning to what the voice of love is, it kept coming to me with such force that I didn't know how to actually actualize it, but I knew that I was being guided and that I could ask for that guidance. So I said, okay, you know what? Okay, you're asking me to write this book. I don't know what to write. Show me, guide me. I ended up recruiting 10 women to write the book with me. And I ended up being in a space of, I didn't have very much time. I had a newborn.
Yeah.
meditating. And okay, it's a voice note on my phone. This is the introduction. This is the conclusion. Like, that's how the writing came through. And each of us, all the women on this book, had a similar experience. It was a download through our form, written for the collective. And so Motherhood Diaries came first. It's a book on conscious motherhood and self-love. It's a combination of poetry, short stories, affirmations, and quotes, and children's art. And then having done this book and publishing this book, I was like, okay, you know what? This is something I feel called to coach women on now. How do they actually learn to unconditionally love and accept themselves? How do they integrate self-love being a mom? It is so different than mainstream, right? Yeah. Okay, what may work for the average person that doesn't have kids is quite different. How do moms be illuminated? We can very easily dim our light by serving everybody but ourselves, but we can also very easily illuminate to our full potential and be the guiding light and of the family, of the world, right? So this became the inspiration to then do conscious mom coaching, and particularly helping moms that were transitioning to motherhood to find a place of peace within themselves where they could feel resilient, empowered, joyfully connected in their relationships and ready to raise conscious beings that light up the world. So sorry, that was a very long-winded answer, but there was a bit of a journey to it.
Yeah,
it's been a very healing journey.
And it all started with meditation. All of it.
It really did. The stillness became the opening. And I think a lot of people shy away from meditation. It's hard to be with yourself, but you don't have to be Moses meditating on a mountain for 20 minutes. You can actually meditate just when you're driving, being quiet with yourself. It's just quietness, right? Walking in quiet.
Or guided meditations.
Right. Guided meditations in the shower. I always meditate in the shower. It's a 2-for-1.
Really?
I always meditate in the shower in my place. So
that's your place of solace, right? No one else is around to bother you. That's your time.
It is. Yes. It's very, when you're relaxed, when you're at ease, that's when you hear your inner voice speaking. Hmm. And so getting in that place of stillness is a key practice that I teach my clients.
Love it. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, absolutely.
What lights you up or inspires you the most about the work you do as a coach?
Yeah, so I think, Brad, I mentioned to you, I'm shifting a little bit to this next inspired step. And so right now I'm very inspired. I'm feeling very inspired to raise the vibration of mothers around the planet and the collective consciousness of the world. Sorry,
that's
the word there. Consciousness of the world. So it's raising that vibration, because I see when we raise the vibration of mothers, when we raise the frequency of those beautiful expressions of love, these mothers who've birthed these beautiful miracles, then they become that place that is a host for this light that comes into the world to be in their full expression. And so the best example is our own. And so that inspires me a lot. I feel like if I can, number one, be that every day to my kids and raise conscious beings, and as well inspire other women to be at their highest vibration, then we're going to change the world. We're going to change the blueprint, the energetic blueprint of the world. And that is exactly where we need to go. In this time, we see so much happening in the world. We need more conscious beings that are tuned to their highest self, because when they are, they're more attuned to compassion, love, peace, all the things that are healing, all the things that will move us forward in togetherness, not separation, but togetherness on the planet, right? And so there is energetically, there's nowhere where you begin and I end, right? When we look at the ocean, we're each a wave of the ocean. We're not separate waves.
No.
We are collectively part of the ocean, and we are each waves of the ocean working together. And as soon as we realize that we are connected as a collective, there's nowhere where you begin and I end. We operate differently. Mm-hmm. We are inspired in a direction that's not just for ourselves, but for something greater. And so that inspires me. That inspires me. That unity consciousness inspires me.
Yeah, I mean, we're all here to do the same thing, to raise the vibration of the collective. That's part of our mission here. And the more people we get on board with that mission and with that work, we're unstoppable. The more voices we bring in, the louder our voices are together. You can't do it siloed. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to go nowhere. And we're not meant to do it by ourselves. We're meant to do it in community, in a collection of people, because we will be able to get so much more accomplished in this world if we all come together and do it together.
I love that. You're just mirroring back to me. It's beautiful. I feel like this is what inspires me as well, is being around people who are consciously aware, who are awakened, who are ready to do this work, right? And you're a prime example of that.
Creating
this community with unity being highlighted in that word, right? Unity.
Yeah.
This community where we work together to amplify the light
that
we each have, right?
Yes.
And because we're each going to be able to contribute in our own magnificent
100%.
Way. And it's finding what that is. And I think a lot of people feel sometimes lost or disconnected.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's finding your way back home.
That's right. And back home is here in us.
Yes, within us, not outside of us. I had to learn that, right? I'm just thinking of my journey, right? Of the five car accidents, of all of that pain was pay attention inward. That's what it was there for. I didn't understand it at the moment. But after all the our car accidents, the universe is like, this girl's not getting it. Okay, let's make her get it. Let's drive that point home, right? And so I ended up healing 22 years of chronic pain because I became awakened to why I'm here. And
how powerful is that? That is huge.
It's huge. Honestly, I struggled for so long. Mm. And I think a lot of it had to do with the vibration I was also operating at in terms of my internal state, my subconscious state, which I wasn't fully aware of until I went into the deeper inner work. So I think that's just so important, that inner work. It's not easy. I just want to say to everyone out there, it's not easy to look at your past, to look at the things that are limiting you, the pain that you might have beneath there. But there's a reason for it. And there's a reason that you've had that journey. That challenge is to bring you closer to the light. And so if you can face the darkness and you can go through it with the support of someone you love and trust, maybe a coach, a therapist, whoever you feel connected to walk you through, do that for yourself. You will be so liberated and you'll feel like you just have a new lease on life.
Potential in that for yourself. Once you free yourself of that.
Yes.
Whew, amazing. I love it. Thank you for sharing that, Soraya.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side of that coin, what is one of the most difficult parts of your job in the coaching world?
Absolutely. I think it's a really good question, because as a server, as somebody wants to help, I literally walk around and think, okay, your most untapped potential is this inner link, this inner guide. And I want to serve and I want to help. And it's reminding myself that you can only coach someone as far as they're willing to take themselves as well. You can provide the tools, you can provide the information, but you have to be ready. And I think I'm an example of that, right? If someone came to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I may not have been ready to hear it or receive it in the same way. So it's just coming in with that understanding and that lens that, yes, you want to serve and you want to help and you want to help that person fully illuminate to their full potential, but that everyone will come when they're ready and they'll meet you at where they're at right now. And even if it means working a little bit, it's like a chandelier, right?
Yeah.
It's dim right now, but you're slowly upping the light. You're slowly upping the light. So it can be a journey in steps, right? Where we slowly uncover. And so I think that's important to just recognize as a coach.
For sure.
Yeah.
What would you say are three of the most important lessons you've learned in your career?
Yeah, I think, being in HR for 20 years and even looking at my children, I think what it boils down to is people just want to feel seen and heard and really feel like people are listening. And that also starts with feeling seen and heard by your own self. And so I always thought, okay, seeing and hearing someone else, listening to someone else is providing platform for them to share. And yes, that's important. But if you haven't listened to your own self, your own inner voice, then you're not going to be as helpful to others to truly be able to hear things and guide them unless you've done that for yourself and you feel seen and heard and you've dealt with your feelings, your emotions, and allowed space for that. And so that's been a big learning. I'm in terms of the HR world, I'm leading up the listening strategy for our company. And so I'm doing that. And I have my Conscious Mom business as well. And so I find that it actually ties in really well together because when I think about the HR work, the psychology behind it, and I think about being a conscious parent and being a conscious being, a lot of it boils down to giving the space to myself. And then when I look at my kids, they just want to feel seen and heard. They're having a tantrum or their nervous system is feeling out of alignment. Often they just want to be comforted and heard and listened to. Okay, what's on your mind? What are you feeling? How is that coming through for you? And so I've been able to apply that in all areas of the coaching because I think HR has been coaching people for happiness at work. And I've been doing that for a very long time. And now it's okay, coaching people in everyday life, spiritual coaching. Okay, how can you now attune, right? How can you attune to loving and accepting and hearing yourself and being conscious and now being that for your children and the people around you? So that's my biggest learning.
Can you share with us a little bit about Love Is Your Origin, what the company is all, the mission, how you came up with the name, all of those, all of the good stuff?
Yeah. I mean, everything was born through meditation, I have to say. When I thought of Love Is Your Origin, I'm like, yes, that's my company name. It wasn't like I was sitting there for hours.
Yeah.
What's my company name? No, love is your origin. That's the essence of who we are. Love is our origin. If we can return to the essence of who we are, and if we can see the world through that lens, we become unlimited in our potential. And so Love Is Our Origin came from that space. My company is all about, I think I shared a little bit earlier, but it's about helping moms to be conscious. And my niche is really expecting and first-time moms, helping them to transition to motherhood, feeling empowered, resilient, joyfully connected with their partners and relationships, because that all shifts, and raising conscious beings that light up the world. And I think that when I think of motherhood, and I was just speaking to a friend about this the other day, and this is the essence of the company, is when you become a mom, you're catapulted into change, into growth. You don't fully know what to expect. And you get there and you're like, oh my gosh, I feel this overwhelming love for this beautiful being. And I feel this overwhelm. Oh my God, how am I going to do this?
I'm responsible for this.
Oh my gosh, cluster feeding. Okay, how do I do the rescue? How do I do... And then you've got all these people giving you advice. You've got all this comparison. And so I think it's helping moms with the transition to really hone in their inner anchor, their mother's intuition, to be connected to that inner voice so that when their children come earthside, they've done the deeper inner work. They've learned how to love themselves, prepare in ways how they can continue some self-love practice when their kids come earthside. And they have a practice of stillness, those three things, so that they can best navigate through this transition, this identity shift and change, which they will have with more ease and grace than they would if they didn't have that. Because I can see the difference from when my son was born and when my daughter was born.
Because you've been through it once already.
Yes, so I've been through it where I wasn't fully awakened and then where I was awakened. And the difference in how I can show up for my daughter, the energy, the presence, even when I wasn't sleeping. Okay, like how I could show up. And so I think that I really want to equip these beautiful moms that really don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
What to expect. And here's some things to expect. I won't be able to give you the full playbook because every child's different.
Yeah.
But let me give you some tools. Let me help you find that inner anchor. So then when you don't know what to do, you're not going to go out to everybody and Google everything.
Solicit advice. Yeah.
100 hours. Okay. You may still want to research. Of course, not saying don't research, but you're going to lean on your intuition, your mother's intuition. Yeah. What feels best and lightest and most joyful for my family?
Yeah.
What works for my child? I'm connected to my child. My child's been in womb for 9 months. I've been with you every moment. And I have an inkling. I have this mother's intuition, which is your inner power to guide your children and to really notice things and pick things up. And it really gives you that confidence and that validity that, okay, yeah, I might not know exactly what to do, but this eternal link, this inner voice is here to guide me. And I'm not alone. I'm really not alone.
So do you work with expecting mothers and women who have given birth already and are just in the beginning stages of motherhood? Is that your market? Is that the women you work with typically?
So I started working with seasoned moms, and then I now niche down to expecting moms.
Okay.
And moms that are newer. I think if they have a newborn, it might be a little hard, right? If in the first little while. So I mean, ideally, expecting moms is where I'd like to get people at because they have a bit more time than when you're catapulted into this change and the baby's on you like 24/7. You don't have a minute, right? So yeah, I think in early motherhood, either expecting or early motherhood would be the group that I've been serving right now to help. Because I feel like that's a big impact that I can
for
make.
Sure.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, conscious parenting can have various interpretations. How do you define conscious parenting and what principles or philosophies guide your coaching approach?
So I've done a life in spiritual coaching. I'm very much deep into A Course in Miracles. So I have the spiritual aspect. And having lived it myself, I'm living it every day as well. So for me, the principles that I follow, the life in spiritual coaching tools that I've learned, I'm also part of the Gabby Bernstein Miracle community. So I also follow a lot of her teachings. And so I integrate all of that. And it comes down to me, it boils down to three things that I guide my clients through: doing the deep inner work, radical self-love. And then the third thing is stillness. And those are the three things that I guide them through using the life and spiritual coaching tools that I have, and also my own experience and my own intuition. So I'm very much, when I work with a client, I will tune in and I'll say, okay, what does this person most need in this moment? And I allow my intuition to guide me in delivering a powerful session or delivering this coaching. I think that's the difference, is that I feel like spirit is taking the wheel for my life and I'm allowing it to work through me as this conduit of love to help women on their journey. So that's kind of my philosophy, and I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, as we've said, there's this common thread throughout the work you do and throughout the whole conversation we're having, and that is self-love and self-care, because you need both.
Yeah.
You're obviously a huge advocate for self-love.
Oh, 100%.
So I'd love to hear what your opinion is of the difference between self-love and self-care.
Yeah, I feel like when I think of self-care, I feel like it's more on the surface, taking care of the body, maybe going for a manicure, a pedicure, getting your hair done, or that's what I think of for self-care. When I think of self-love, I feel it goes deeper. And I'm just going to actually read an excerpt from my book because I actually read about this. The definition, and I think this just brings it home. Self-love means taking time to hear the voices of our soul, to hear life's meaning. Self-love is oxygen for our soul, amplifying the light that was always there. It means taking time for stillness and introspection. It means healing and opening portals of love within our being that we didn't even know we have. It means shining more brightly and being that which we already are, love. And so that's how I would define self-love. It's going deeper. It's allowing yourself to clear the inner clutter over your beautiful inner diamond, which we all have. It's not reserved for just a few. We all have it. It's providing oxygen to our being by taking time for stillness and introspection. And as you heal and as you release that clutter over your inner diamond, that's when you actually amplify the ability to be connected to your higher self, where you'll naturally be in more of a state of self-compassion, of love, of forgiveness for yourself. And so you become a place where you love and accept yourself fully. And when you love and accept yourself fully, then that to me is self-love. And it's a journey. For all those listening, don't feel like you have to get this overnight. It's a journey. Healing has layers. It's not linear. Every day we're practicing the self-love as moms. Yeah. We are stretched. We have a lot of responsibilities on our plate. For and sure. So it's finding what makes sense for you at the different stages of the motherhood journey. So I hope that answered your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Keeping on this same theme, we're conditioned and taught growing up that self-love is selfish. I mean, everything starts here. We are the foundation for all of it. It's not selfish at all. But with all of that conditioning, we also have to add that on to the work we have to do in terms of loving ourselves. So how would you suggest, or what would you suggest for mothers out there who may be struggling with that piece and to start their journey of self-love?
I think it's first and foremost, giving yourself the permission, recognizing, like when I look back at the women in previous generations, my mom, the previous women I've seen, it very much was that way. It was sacrifice. Don't live until your kids have grown up. This is just how being a good mother is. And I think now we are trying to flip the script on that, because when my parents came, they were also immigrants. They were surviving as well. They're trying to put food on the table. It was a different time as well. We've been given a lot of opportunity, because I know for myself, my parents have worked really hard. So I've been given the opportunity to study and do the things that I want to do in my life with that support. So I would say, first and foremost, give yourself the permission. It's not selfish. I know there's a lot of mom guilt. A lot of moms feel so guilty for taking time for themselves. But really, if you want to be the best possible mom to your child, to give them the best of yourself rather than what's left over, it's really important that you take that time to do that inner work, to clear things, because whether you like it or not, your kids are going to be a mirror. They're coming and they're like, hey, you don't want to grow. Actually, I'm going to amplify your growth 100x overnight. and here we go. We're on this journey, right? So be willing to release the past, to really reflect on what it is that you want to bring forward to your kids. And remember that you are their greatest teacher. When you show up in self-love, when you are fully embodied in that, then you're teaching them to love themselves, to take care of themselves before they can be of service to anyone else. And I really think that's an important message for our children in order to be awakened. That was a big piece. The self-love, I wouldn't actually be able to hear my inner voice if I didn't give myself the self-love. And so it's critical. It's oxygen, as I mentioned, for your soul.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the B word comes to mind, to boundaries, which is another thing, a huge thing for mothers, a huge thing for people, for reform people pleasers, all of the things, right? Absolutely. So how do you teach moms to set firm yet loving boundaries that support their children's development?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's key. So when you deepen your practice, when you're doing the inner work, when you are deepening your self-love, you become more in alignment of the things that are things that you want to align to and are not things you want to align to. And that can be a transition and a shift. So first of all, that's very natural and normal, and it will require you to set new boundaries. And so, for example, if it's setting boundaries with your partner, where before maybe that was how you operated, serving everyone else but yourself, it's coming from a place of, okay, let me first tune in. Let me first get in a space of calm. It's going to come from a place of resentment or anger or frustration. My partner is not going to receive it the same. So first it's, okay, let's get in a space of tuning in that place of stillness. Okay, what do I need in this moment? What do I need to be the best possible mom? Writing down, what are the things that you need to be able to hold the space for your children and yourself, your children and the family? Writing that down, your needs, and then communicating those needs from a place of, here's what I'm showing up for you as our family. I love you. I care about you. This is what I need. And I think that's a different conversation, a different vibration than I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm disconnected. This is what I need now. Yeah. And so I teach my clients to, again, whenever they're feeling out of alignment, the first thing is calming their own nervous system and coming from that space. Because when you come from that space, and of course, Miracles talks about this, first of all minds are joined. So at the subconscious level, if you're coming from a place of anger and disconnect, that energy actually closes the door for you to actually have an opening with other people in your life. And so it's connecting to that place of peace within yourself and then coming from there to communicate those needs. Now, As a mom, I know for myself, I have a calendar, and I think my husband's very good at putting the self-love time on there. And so I said, okay, this is the time I need. I'm putting it on the calendar. This is my time. I need to take this time. And I've been more forthcoming about it as well on a daily basis, tuning in and asking myself, Saraya, what do you need from me today? What do you need from me today? And scheduling it in my day. So boundaries with even your workplace. There's different, it's not just your partner, right? Your workplace, even your children. Right. And that I need to be able to
mommy time
operate at the level I wanted to give you the love, the compassion, and the best of me. Sure. And so, I mean, there's many other techniques that I use, but that's just at a high level what I take my clients through.
What legacy do you hope to leave through your work as a conscious mom coach? And how do you envision the impact of conscious parenting on future generations?
So I have it on my board. My legacy is love. When it comes down to it, because I've had many different circumstances where I had a near death, for example. And in that moment, I really realized that the biggest impact I can give is both to give love and receive love. And that's all that really matters at the end of the day. And so through my work, I mean, I see this opening. Conscious parenting is one avenue. Writing is another avenue. And I think I've talked to you a little bit where I'm shifting next.
Yes.
Is I want to provide a platform for women to share their untold stories of motherhood, to share being awakened moms, to share their journey of going from pain into purpose, right? And to help moms on their journey so they can realize that, my God, this stuff is hard. Motherhood is not easy. Like, it is a transition. It is tough. Let's talk more about that. But it doesn't have to be where you just remain in a feeling of emptiness, aloneness, and disconnection. There's a lot of beauty to be had here. And there's a lot of ability to empower yourself to raise your vibration and the vibration of the planet. And so really my vision, I'm now kind of shifting into the next sequel of Motherhood Diaries. I'm feeling very called to do that. So the next vision is really to have every mother awakened and vibing at this beautiful high vibration so that we can create a wave of love on the planet through these moms, through the children that they raise. You're awakened, you're conscious, you're here, you're connected to your highest self. And now look at your children. They're looking up to you as they look at you with those starry eyes when they're young, right? We're developing their subconscious mind. We have the ability to subconsciously help them program to see that shining your brightest light and being awakened and operating from this space is normality, is actually the way that we should all be operating.
Yeah.
And so that is a legacy I want to leave. Love and more love. Love and more love. And then doing that by tuning to my highest self to serve the collective, because that's where we're going to be able to shift the whole planet, is through our children. They are the future generations, but also standing in our power. We can't forget ourselves.
No, you have to start with self. I mean,
yes.
And I'm sure being a mother, that's a very hard thing to step into because you're, again, the conditioning and what you're taught is you put your kids first. They're exactly. first. They come first. Yeah. But no, it's not true. You've got to come first. Then that allows for you to be fully present for your kids.
Yep. And I think for moms that are listening, that journey looks different at every stage of motherhood. The amount of time that you have grows over time. So when your child's a newborn, it's going to look more intense. But there are still ways that you can make time for yourself in simple ways to give yourself that oxygen, that calling in that support. So that's where I like to coach moms on that part, because also being realistic with the different stages and your babies and your children need you in different ways at different stages. But the baseline is that you need to take care of yourself. So how do you do that? How do you do that through the different phases?
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the podcast. As mentioned at the start, you are a podcast host. Can you share a little bit about your podcast with us? What's the title, first of all? Is it interview style? Is it solo? Is it mix of both? What's the content of it? Tell us all the good things.
Yes, absolutely. So my podcast is called Miracle Mom Mindset. And really, it's for expecting new and seasoned moms. And I interview moms on the show who share their journey. And I think that's really important to share all about self-love, what that looks like in motherhood, sharing about honing into the intuition and doing the deeper inner work to inspire mothers on their journey. And I've also recorded some solo guided meditations on there for moms that I found are quite helpful. So I've done some of that work, and it's a combination, but I would say most of it is actually interviewing moms and getting their experience and them sharing, everyday moms. Okay, yeah. What does this look like? And how have I been able to embody being a conscious mom?
Yeah.
How have I been able to learn on my journey, and what struggles have I gone through? We all go through our own journey of motherhood. It looks different for all of us. Mm-hmm. But how can we come together to support, inspire, and empower each other so that we're not alone on the journey, that we feel that we are being seen and heard? And so that's the basis of the podcast, is really getting moms to share their voice and to support each other.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that's helped you become successful?
I think it's really this inner guide. This is my superpower. This is all of our superpower. I want you guys to know you all have it. So it's this inner guide, because my life has turned around fully. I mean, like I said, I cured 22 years of chronic pain. I've had all of these inspired things flowing through me that you can't even express it. It's just amazing. Like, I never imagined for myself that I would be getting into the conscious mom space, writing publishing a book, going on to publish now. This will be my third book, actually, that I'm working on for the mothers. But what I'd say my biggest superpower is attuning to spirit and letting spirit take the wheel. So you can call it inner guide, inner teacher, eternal link, whatever resonates with you that gets you closest to love. Your soul has your own language. And so it's allowing this force to work through me for the collective, calling upon this force and surrendering my life in service. That's what it is. And that becomes my superpower, because now I'm serving beyond my own self. I'm serving beyond my own life, and I'm allowing myself to be a conduit, a channel for this divine love to flow through and create through. And so it's just, I'm enjoying the soul adventure, seeing where I go next. And that is the superpower, is when you can attune to your inner voice.
Yeah.
And have the courage to follow it. Those two things, right?
It is so much bigger than all of us. It's got nothing to do with us. It's about, exactly, like you said, being in and of service to others and helping to lift each other.
Yes, this is it. I just think about, as like moms, as women, as a community, we need each other to lean on. And the more we can be awakened and attuned, the more we can be of service to each other and the collective.
Speaking of success, how do you define that word? What does the word success mean to you?
Well, success to me means being attuned, being conscious, being awakened. So I'm awakened, I'm raising conscious beings, and I'm also helping others to do the same. So that is to me success, where every day I'm co-creating with the universe in perfect love. And I have it on my board here. I'm thankful. I'm spending every day co-creating with the universe in perfect love, raising the vibration of mothers and the collective consciousness of the world. And like I said, it starts with self. Like, I'm not going to do that if I'm not being that. And so being conscious, raising conscious beings, and then extending that out to the world.
Powerful. What would you say is one of the most important things you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before you learned it? And what was your life like after learning it?
I mean, I think that when I had my near-death experience, I had a heart surgery at the age of 33. My heart got stuck at 220 beats per minute. I was in my apartment alone. So just so everyone listening, like 70 to 100 is the normal heartbeats per minute. I got stuck in a loop there, and I was taken by ambulance to the hospital. And I think what I realized in that moment and through that experience was, I mean, number one, the oddness of this all was that I felt this presence. So I felt this presence of being guided. I felt I could see visions of, it might sound a little woo-woo, but the afterlife, I could see it, but it wasn't yet my time. And I could also feel this peace, because in very much in presence of, okay, I had to be in attunement with my breath. So really in that moment, I realized how fragile life is and how we are here for a short period of time. We are here for a defined period of time, but our inner light is here for an eternity. And so how can I live more a life that's aligned to being in the frequency of this basically eternal light, rather than just being here for every day? I was working this job, I was traveling 75% of the time, I was on a plane, working all these hours, but at the end of it, it didn't really matter. I didn't really think of that when I was going through that near-death experience. all I thought of, okay, who are the people I loved and connected with and the love I gave and the love I received? Like, that's all I really cared about in that moment. And also what came to me in that moment was, is life starts with breath and ends with breath. And how can you make every single breath count? Mm-hmm. And so that was a big learning for me. I think that from that experience, I realized that I'm here to make every breath count and not to take it for granted. And sometimes we're just operating, going from thing to thing, right? We're not stopping and seeing and being present to the beauty of life now. And when I think of a message of learning, it's aimed to be living later that, okay, if once I achieve this, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be peaceful, I'm going to be home. How can you find that now? No moment is guaranteed. How can you find peace, love, and joy now? And when you can find peace, love, and joy now, then you are attuned to the presence, right? The presence of peace, which is within you at all times. And that is where you are then most guided. And I didn't get there right away. It took me many years to, like, I had that near-death experience and it made me quit that job and reflect on my life and do things differently. But I didn't get fully awakened until many years later. But that was a huge event in my life where it was like, okay, I'm 33 years old. What am I doing that actually matters? What is going to matter at the end of my life? Mm-hmm. Is all this going to matter? Is working 16, 14, 12, 14 hours a day going to matter? It's not. It's the time I spent with my loved ones. It's the time that I spent serving, loving others, loving myself, all that stuff that's going to make a difference. So to all of you listening, make every breath count. Make 100%. Every breath count. This is valuable. This, every morning I wake up and I say to my kids, I'm so grateful I have another day gifted to me that I can be with you.
Gratitude practices. That's it, right? Yes. And grateful for the smallest things. Grateful for the fact that you woke up, first of all,
this
on
is
the
it.
Green side
I'm
of the
heartbeat.
Grass, as my dad always used to say. Grateful for the water that you have, that you can shower. Great, like that's every little thing. I mean, you hear so often people talking about when they're working full time for a company or at a company. Oh, I'll take that vacation when I travel, or I can't wait till I retire to start traveling. Yeah. Why are you waiting? Travel now. Yeah. You're not this promised tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to be alive. And I mean, that's not a morbid thought. It's the truth. You don't know. So why not take advantage of the time you have now? We're not promised tomorrow. Nobody's promised tomorrow.
We aren't. And so you may not have the help, right? You may not even have the help by then.
Right.
So, okay, enjoy life now. Enjoy these moments. Create those memories with your family, your loved ones now.
Yeah.
Because they'll also remember that. They're going to remember those moments that you took that time to be present and with them, truly
creating
with them.
Memories.
This is it. So I when I think back at that experience, like there were so many hours where I just was gasping for breath. And I remember thinking at the same time, I feel this peace because I was very attuned to my breath. And so I think I learned that the breath is very powerful and brings us in the present moment and can be a source of peace. And thankfully, I fully recovered from it. I'm like a cat with 9 lives. My goodness. Yeah. I keep going here. I'm still going. And this is just part of my journey. And I'm grateful that I had these experiences because it has made me who I am. It gives me more compassion for others. I'm able to understand different things from that lens.
Who in your life has had the biggest impact on you and why?
When I think about it, it's my parents. My parents were a huge force of teaching. Think about the biggest gift that they gave me was actually being comfortable with silence. I know it seems like a very simple thing, but my mom and my dad, they would drive in silence. And I didn't really think about it at the time. I was like, okay, I guess I can take a snooze on the way. Or I was a child at that time. I didn't think about it at the time. But now I'm just really comfortable with silence. And at the age of 10, they took me for the first time to go meditate. And that became an opening for me. I started writing poetry. I never really did anything with it. I wrote poetry after I'd meditate. And so I got kind of comfortable with writing in that way. And so when I think back to my parents, they gave me many things. I mean, they gave me the opportunities. They worked very hard. They always emphasized working hard in education. But they really also emphasized this peace, this eternal peace, that you have this inner anchor. And whatever challenges you go through, that is a place you can lean on for support and help. And so I didn't know it at the time. That was so vital. But it's really helped me to think about that when I'm going through challenges, to go within. And I didn't get awakened right away in that moment, but these were all pieces in my journey that they were connected as well to themselves, where they could sort of guide me and say, you know what, there's this inner anchor that you can lean on if you're struggling. And so when I couldn't talk to them, I would pray. I would go within and seek support. And I would have those moments where I would be guided. And now I feel that in every moment, every day. Yeah. At that time, it was in those moments that I would ask. So yeah, I really just appreciate my parents for all they've given me.
What does the word empowerment mean to you, Soraya?
Yeah, I mean, it has the word power in it, right? So I think it's really remembering that the biggest power is remembering your own. And so when I think of empowering women, it's I'm not there to teach you how to live your life, actually. I'm here to give you the tools to remember your own inner power and have that guide you. So really, I teach you and then you're spreading your wings, right? You don't need me forever. You actually are your best teacher. Your inner guide is your best guide. And so empowerment to me is helping women find their way home to the power that they always had, to the light that they always had, because really they are the light which they seek. We are always looking for the light elsewhere. We're looking for the answers elsewhere, but it really exists within the depth of our being. And if we can connect to that place, then we are empowered to do anything.
Okay, we're going to jump into a little rapid fire section here. So the next grouping of questions, just be 1, 2, 3, forward answer type thing, okay?
Okay.
If you could teach the world one thing, what would it be?
Love.
What's one thing you want but cannot buy with money?
Did I think about that? I'd say lengthening my life. I can't buy that with money.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Love. An expression, a full expression of love. I'm sorry, I'm going one word, but
I see it. No, it all
comes down to love. It's
all right.
A full expression of love.
I see it, a theme here. What is one thing you love about yourself that is not related to your physical appearance?
It's my heart. As Rumi says, it's from the heart that we touch the sky. And I really feel that is that connection. Because I have that connection to that inner light, which we all have. That to me is what makes me special.
If you had a theme song that played every time you walked into a room, what would it be?
It's like, I'm taking singing lessons and I'm learning, this girl is on fire. So that's what's coming to me right now. Right. Yeah.
Love it. What is your favorite self-care practice?
Quietness, stillness. That's a novelty when you're a mom. Quiet time. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, I know I'm simplifying it, but just getting time to just be still, to get quiet.
Aside from necessities, what is one thing you could just not go without?
Quietness and my kids. Yeah, my kids. Those two. It's like the duality of motherhood, right?
Yeah.
Kids are not quiet, but I can't go without them. And I also need quietness.
That concludes our rapid fire section. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. What's something surprising that you've learned about yourself in the last year?
Yeah. So what I've learned in the last year is the universe won't give you what you think you need. The universe will give you what you actually need for your soul's expansion, and to just continue to surrender and trust. And I know Gabby Bernstein talks about this a lot. She's like, surrender and surrender more. When you think you've surrendered, surrender more. And so I think that's the biggest learning for me is, and I have it on my board, I have my goals, but what I've put here is I'm surrendering it to you in the highest good of all. And so being open to creative possibilities, being open to the journey and not getting stuck or fixated on an outcome, really just understanding that everything is happening for your highest good. And that's a continual reminder for me on a daily basis, is that full faith and trust, which I have, because that's, I think, what led me to all these different openings, but remembering not to get attached to any outcome.
What challenge in your life would you say has shaped you the most?
Yeah, I think there's been many challenges. I think I've talked about them. But one challenge that actually really also changed my life was a close friend of mine. She was 31 when she passed. And I was with her when she passed. She passed away from cancer. So I was with her mom and her brother when she passed. And I think that really actually changed the way I looked at life, because she was a very vibrant, upbeat, hilarious person. She had this desire to live, this desire to heal, and she had her time. And I think what I learned after many years, I had to come to this, because at the time I thought, okay, she was young and she didn't get to live out her life. And now as I get more connected, I realize that she was complete. And we are each complete for the time period we've come, whether it's short or long, we are complete. We have a certain time to come and do what we're meant to do and then leave. And so I learned that. And I also learned that when we leave, it's not the end of our life. It's a continuation of life in terms of spirit form. And so we are merged with love. When we leave, we are merged with love. And So I still feel her presence with me. I feel her guiding me. And I think that was a big learning for me, is I was pretty young when she passed away as well, is just remembering that it doesn't have anything to do with age. You are complete. You come here to complete your mission. And when you leave, you are fully complete. There's nothing left undone. Yeah.
What is your why?
My why is my kids. I look at them every day and I think, how can I raise these beautiful conscious beings? How can I raise these beautiful beings to be their best? They are my why. And as well, like I think I talked about earlier, I look at the state of the world and that is also my why, is what can I do to help? What can I do to make this world brighter? And when I look at it and I'm guided to do this work. To be a conscious being, raise conscious beings, and inspire women to do the same. I'm sorry, I know it sounds probably repetitive.
No, not at all.
But that is basically what I feel is my why.
That's your mission. That's your contribution to the planet.
It is.
Lots of work to do.
Lots of work. But like I said, miracles collapse time. Yeah. When you are attuned to spirit, it's interesting. Like when you're attuned to your intuition, your inner voice, things go pretty quick and effortlessly.
I love that. Miracles collapse time. I love that.
It's not force. It's flow, really. Yes, there's lots of work to do. But when you are inspired and anchored in truth, that work is being done for you. It's being orchestrated for you. And so it just, okay, I'm the body here actualizing this vision, this mission, but it's being done through me. And so that becomes far more powerful than when you're not attuned, right? Yeah. Than when you're not sitting in your highest self. And so it's not me doing the work. The work is being done through me.
If you could step into my shoes, what question would you have asked yourself that I didn't ask you?
Yeah, you're pretty thorough, Brad. I think you asked a lot of questions. I think in terms of like where I'm going next, I just want to share that piece.
Yeah, so absolutely.
We are working on a sequel to Motherhood Diaries with Balboa Press, a division of Hay House. Woo-hoo! And so I'm so excited about this. I'm really excited. And so we're really excited to recruit women to join us on this book who are conscious, who are awakened moms, who have a story to tell. And we all have a story to tell. No story is too simple to tell when it's leading us on our path to being conscious. And so I'm excited to magnetically attract those beautiful souls in and write the book with us. And so if this piques your interest, if this is something that you feel is aligned to where you're at your journey, please reach out to me. I can send you more details. And I'm super excited to amplify our collective voices, to raise the vibrations of mothers and the collective consciousness of the world. And that's the vision behind the book. It's called Be Light to Raise Light. And I'm just super excited about it. I'm super excited that this is where we're being led next. And to really give a platform to women who are serving in this space. Because I think that's really important to amplify their voices as they're writing, giving them opportunities to shine. I love seeing other women shine and really us sharing it together and transforming the blueprint, the energetic blueprint of the planet and the future generations of children. So that's all I wanted to share in terms of what's happening next. It's really exciting. I'm taking a little break from my Conscious Mom coaching to do this next sequel. Yeah. To dedicate my time and energy there. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see the wonderful moms that are going to be joining this. I cannot wait, actually.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. We'll put all the links to all of your things in the show notes for when your episode is released. Absolutely. If you had the opportunity, Soraya, to sit down and have a 1-hour conversation with one woman, any woman in the world, who would it be and why?
Oprah pops in my head first. I'm going to say Oprah. She's really inspired me on my path. And when I think about the impact that she has made, she's also someone who's very attuned and with her emotions and with her highest self. And I would love to just speak with her for an hour and just learn from her about her life, learn from her and also just share and have a cup of coffee in her garden or maybe a cup of tea and talk about how we can make the planet brighter and what her vision is and how we can do that together. So yeah, Oprah comes to mind.
All right.
She's just got so much to learn. She's talked to so many inspired individuals in her lifetime. And I know she probably can't, she's written books, but it's would be amazing to have a conversation with her.
If you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
Healing resides inside. Don't seek outside for the answers. You are the light you seek. The power that you have is within yourself. And so every piece of love, validity, certainty, every unanswerable question is actually within yourself. And so that's what I would tell my youngest self, because for so long I was searching for those answers. And it was like I had my glasses on and looking for my glasses. It's always it was right within myself. So I would tell her, don't forget that you have this inner power, this limitlessness within you. And when you connect to that place within yourself, you become on path, a soul aligned path that is in service of something greater than yourself.
Lastly, Soraya, if you were to deliver your last 30-second speech to the world, your world, your corner of the world, your tribe, your people, what would that last 30 seconds sound like? What words of wisdom would you impart?
Be the light you seek. Be the light you seek. And remember that the most important thing you can give in your lifetime is love. Love to yourself and love to others. And don't be scared. Step into courage. Be connected to your highest self. Take time to get still and be in presence. It is here that you will find peace and you will find answers. You'll find every solution you ever sought in your life. And so lean on this inner power, which is connected to the universe. You are not separate. We are together. And even if I depart in this moment, I will still be with you on the other side.
Beautiful. Soraya, thank you so very much for taking and making the time to be here with me today, for sharing about your journey, your story, and the beautiful light you put out into the world through all the amazing work you're doing to help mothers, help guide mothers. It has been such a beautiful, inspirational, and educational conversation. I appreciate you, and I'm so grateful to have you as a member of the Empowerography community. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I always love being in your energy. Thank you so much for everything you do, Brad.
It is my
honor. You're truly an inspiration. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. I receive that. Soraya, could you share with the audience where they can connect with you if they'd like to work with you, where they can find you to learn more about you?
Absolutely. So I'm on Instagram at Soraya Bodhi. And also on Facebook, and I will include the links in the show notes. My book is called Motherhood Diaries by Soraya Bodhi. And as well, my podcast, I think we mentioned Miracle Mom Mindset, is available on Google, Apple, all the platforms. So feel free to check it out there. And you can also reach me on email at connect@sorayabodhi.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Soraya. I appreciate you. Once again, my name is Brad Walsh, host of the Empowerography podcast. Today, my guest has been Soraya Bodhi. She's the owner and founder of Love is Your Origin, an author, the chief love officer of Love is Your Origin, and a conscious mom coach. Podcast host, life and spiritual coach, all the and of course, a mom. Last but certainly not least, a mom. So, Soraya, thank you so much for being here with me today. I appreciate you. Have a beautiful rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at viseuphoria.ca. Follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.